number 4. Thank God for our Bible today. I've been dealing with the thoughts on the four must in the Gospel of John, where Jesus met the woman at the well, and before that he said he must needs go through Samaria. I sure am glad that he's been through some places in my life that I could meet him, and I could be drawn to the well of water that never runs dry. And then, the second time we dealt with this, he seen the most religious man in the Bible named Nicodemus. The Word of God says he came to Jesus by night. And he told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. It's not an option. It don't go by opinions. Jesus said, you must be born again. Isn't it a blessing to be born again? That lets me know that religion won't get us to heaven, but Jesus will. And then we dealt with the third Sunday, where Christ was still dealing in this passage in John 3, and he said, and the Son of Man must be lifted up. So that's the three musts that we've dealt with in the Gospel of John. But this morning, only for 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to turn this family loose singing. I think it's very important that we see this text. I want to preach on this thought that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God found in John's Gospel, chapter number 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. Now remember, Jesus, he said, verse 14, whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Aren't you glad it's a whosoever will gospel today? And he says, I shall give him the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad I've got a well inside of me. Even though it seems that it gets dry, I'm glad when the Spirit of God nudges me that it comes forward like sparks flying upward in my praise and honor to God and in my worship. And so he says, I'm going to give you this living water. Now watch what he does. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go and call thy husband and come hither. Now Jesus done something very important right here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. And the way he just dealt with this lady, you know what he just done? By him discussing with this lady, he showed her that he knew about her past. He knew about her present. And by in so doing this, she saw her sin. And so she left her water pot, went home, and told the men, come see a man that showed me all things that ever I did. And so her life changed. You're never going to get help from God till you see your sin and you see the need of the Savior. And there's only one Savior. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we go on into this fourth must, and I'll be brief. The Bible said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him, here's our phrase, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank you for standing of reverence in the Word of God this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you today that your house is full. We thank you for the people of God and their kindness. Lord, no doubt this many people here today, some are lost and undone without Christ. And I pray you deal with our heart. And Lord, as this young family comes to sing to be a blessing to us this morning, I pray you'd use them in a great and a mighty way. Help us now in your word. Touch these on our prayer list today that's asked us to pray. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask you to help us. Amen. And amen. Notice, first of all, a few things about this worship that I want to clarify and I want you to see in the Word of God. Look at the dispensation of worship. He said, when the woman said, well, you know, we know that your father is worshipped here and our father is worshipped there. Jesus said there was going to be a change coming. He talks about a new dispensation. Look in verse 21. He said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. Here it is. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The dispensation of worship. What Jesus is telling her that the Jews would no longer have the peculiar rights to only worship Jesus or God in Jerusalem. You see, in Old Testament worship, only the Jews had the right to go through those ceremonial laws. And Jesus is telling her that there's going to be a dispensation change. He said, the hour cometh and now is. So those peculiar rights of the Jews would cease. And then secondly, worship was no longer to be confined to a single place or a single people. Do you remember when the children of Israel was held captive in Egypt? They could not worship there. But oh, honey, when God brought them out of Egypt by the hand of Moses, they parted out that Red Sea. The Bible said they come on the other side with a high hand. They began to set up their ordinances and worship God. And here we see this dispensation of worship. He's telling this lady, he's telling her, worship is no longer bound to a particular people or a place. What's he talking about? We that are saved by the grace of God can now worship God. And I'm glad we can worship Him by spirit and in truth. Aren't you glad you don't have to go to Jerusalem? Aren't you glad you ain't got to go across the Red Sea? Aren't you glad we live in this dispensation of grace where we can worship God in spirit and in truth? And so we're so blessed because we can gather together and worship God in spirit and in truth. There's the dispensation of worship. Verse 23, there's the declaration of worship. The hour cometh and now is, watch, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The declaration of worship. The true worshiper shall. So that lets me know there's some people that's worshiping that's not right. Lets me know there are some false worships going on in this day and this hour. Matter of fact, what America knows about worship, they know very little about Bible worship. We live in a new day and hour when the church is filled with theatrics. They dim the lights down. The music is so loud. It's like a punk rock band playing on stage. My goodness, all that does is stimulates the flesh. It does not move to the spirit. I mean, you get to hearing that, you go to thinking about Boston and Journey. Somebody help me preach this morning. I mean, my goodness, they turn down the lights and turn up the smoke and they're just going after emotions and advertising. But could we put in our hearts this morning to worship our great God in spirit and in truth? Somebody said, you can't build a church on old-time religion. I come to tell you this morning, you can build it on God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost and the infallible Word of God. I'm glad I'm saved this morning by Calvary's cross. I'm glad He loves sinners in this day and in this hour. There's the dispensation of worship. He said, lady, worship's fixing to change. He said, I'm fixing to give you something, but you ain't got to go to Jerusalem. You can worship Him now by the well. There's this dispensation of worship. The now, the hour cometh. There's the declaration of worship. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then thirdly, watch this. The only place that's really mentioned in the Bible, verse 23. Not only the dispensation of worship, the declaration of worship, but now look at the desires of worship. This is amazing text. Verse 23, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. This word seeketh, it means searching for something hidden. In other words, God is looking for somebody to worship Him for what He's done for them in their heart and their spirit. Now, the desires of worship, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I've always based one of the most fundamental doctrines that I've tried to apply in this church through the years is Bible preaching and genuine worship. Not talking about entertainers. I'm not talking about doing something that would draw a crowd, but could we absolutely look inside of us and realize what genuine worship is this morning? Many churches have on signs the worship hour, but I wonder, is there really very much worship going on? Could Liberty Baptist Church be a place where God is honored and Jesus is magnified and we lift Him up holy, for He is holy this morning? You see, the Bible says there's the dispensation of worship. It would change. Now, each individual that God lives in them could worship wherever they are. You know, a lot of you may, I hear a lot of people say this and that, but you know, sometimes I don't have to be at church to worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is you agreeing with God that you are a sinner and He is everything. And He has changed your life. And sometimes I'm in the car and I worship God. Sometimes I'm in my tractor, worship God. Even sometimes, and I know this is a justification for a lot of boys to miss church, but even in the deer stand, I've worshiped God. What He's saying, hey, Brother Jerry, I've seen God coming on me 20 foot up the tree, wondering how in the world I was going to get down. I was just crying, holy, holy, holy. You say, well, was it about the hunting? No, it was about what God had put in me. I'm thankful that He saved me by His goodness and His grace. Now watch, I'm going to close this sermon. The desires of worship. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. In other words, God is looking for somebody to worship Him. What is worship? What is, we don't worship a building. And you know, I believe the Bible teaches us in the book of Haggai that God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. But we don't worship a building. All this is going to burn up one day. Isn't it amazing that we invest the most in is going to go in flames one day? And so we must realize we don't worship places or people. We don't worship facilities, but we worship God, for God is a spirit. He has no boundaries. God does not have a bodily form. He fills heaven and earth at the same time. God has no boundaries. And so this morning we see this desires of worship. He seeketh such of those to worship Him. But then look in verse 24, lastly, the devotion of worship. That devotion of worship. Worship simply means this in one of the Greek meanings. It means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. To prostrate oneself, to reverence and to adore. In other words, that it must come in us as sparks fly upward out of our spirit, thanking God for what He's done for us. In our salvation, in our blessings, in our safety, in the air that we breathe. God has given us everything this morning. And so, watch this in the text. There is the devotion of worship. Now look what he says in verse 24, the only place I'm going to read. Watch it. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Now we see first of all the people, they that worship. Can I tell you, God wants you to worship this morning? I've heard a lot of people, you know, I've been at meetings and meetings that break out, a good free spirit and people get loose. Man, they'd run around the building shouting and hollering. I was at a meeting one time and little old bitty kids, men was running around the building. That's fine, man. That's no problem. Just don't trip and fall and hurt yourself. But little old kids got in behind them going, well, they didn't know what they was shouting about. You know what I noticed, Brother Mike? Just because the car is blowing the horn real loud don't mean that the tank's full of gas. Miss Flo, she's in heaven this evening. Miss Flo would never raise her hand. She was never vocal. She, as far as I know, she never said amen. But I tell you what Miss Flo would do in her worship, you'd see tears come in her eyes. She was grateful to the God of the Bible that had saved her. And so you see, worship is not by the flesh, but it is by the Spirit. Now, it brings me up to this. The people of worship, but what about the priority of worship? God is a spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth. If we're going to worship God, then we must worship Him in spirit, in our innermost being of our person. And this is what might amaze many of you. Did you know, unless Christ comes and gives you life and moves in you by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that you're dead in trespasses and sins. But aren't you glad when we heard the word of the gospel and our faith was applied, that God moved in, we were born again from above, and He has ignited our spirit, and now we can commune with God by spirit. And so worship is simply us adoring Him, thanking Him, submitting to Him by our spirits. So the Bible tells us something in Ephesians 1 and verse number 9. Ephesians 1 and verse number 9. Here he says, let's get verse 11. In whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So you've got to trust in Christ. Whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. The word of God must go forth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, and ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, or our down payment, until the redemption, the purchased possession, the praise of His glory. In other words, He put the Holy Spirit in us to affirm us that He would be back to get us. Now, He paid for everything at Calvary. He paid for every sinner at Calvary. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you see, when I was a young man in church, my inner spirit had never been made alive by His Spirit, and I could not worship Him. But oh, honey, after that day in 1981 when the Lord come by and saved me, moved in my heart, ignited my spirit toward Him, now my spirit can worship Him. And notice this, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, this Bible is very unique. It lets me know that if we're going to worship God, then we must worship Him in truth. As Brother Jamie was teaching Wednesday night, if I've got sin that's predominant in my life and God has showed me that and I'm not dealt with that, I can't worship God. I must repent of my sin and come to Him. Then I can worship God. I've got to remove things in my heart that would interfere with my worship. The other Sunday, I know some of y'all don't never do this. I know you never do this. But me and my wife got in a little spat. Y'all ever got in a spat? It turned from a spat to a spit before long. And you know, we had made up and said, I'm sorry, but we still had them feelings. And I noticed when I come to church that Sunday, my spirit just was not right to worship. I had to get right with God and myself before I could worship Him. See, we must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, if you out living for the devil all week, don't think you're going to worship God in your spirit. Don't think for one second if you have no convictions, you just do this and that, and your lifestyle is of the world, you're not going to do much work. I hear people say, well, I'm going to go to church and get my praise on. Well, won't you get your Bible living on? And so we that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there's the people of worship, the priority of worship. God is a spirit. We must worship Him from our spirit. We don't worship God out of our mind, out of our hands, even though our hands can raise. People's emotions are different. But we must worship Him with our spirit. For God is a spirit, and we must communicate to Him by our spirit. That He has made alive within us. And so, there's the priority. And then there's the practice. But I want to say this. There's a great privilege to worship God. This family's going to come this morning. What a great privilege that we could gather together and worship. How many times has the Spirit of God come by you and nudged you and to get you to mind Him and you didn't, you grieved Him? But it's so wonderful when we can come into a place and the Spirit of God starts to minister to us and we respond to Him with worship. I remember Brother John Weathers, y'all remember this, that's been here a long time, it's Flo's husband. I was sitting right over here, Brother Mike. No Wings was on Liberty that day. And Brother John come by. And he asked me, he said, Pastor, is there anything that I can do for you this week? I said, no, Brother John, everything's great. He went and sat down where Brother Roger's at. And God called him home out of our service that morning. You remember that? I'd never experienced nothing like that as a young pastor, but it showed me several things. It showed me that God is no respecter of person. There wasn't a better man ever walking these doors than Brother John Weathers. But I remember one morning in particular, Brother Mike, meeting broke out, worship came, and I remember that I fell in the altar. I couldn't talk. It was so big out of my heart of what God had done for me. Boy, how that worship helped me that next week. Family, I want you to come. Brother James.